John chapter 16, verses 16 through 33, and the title of the message is Preparing for Problems. Preparing for Problems. John chapter 16, verses 16 through 33. And by way of introduction this morning, Jesus told the disciples that he was going away to prepare a place for them in John 14. He said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And so he told them that in John 14. And then in chapter 15, he told them that persecution was coming. And he talked to them about abiding in him. He's the vine and we are the branches. And then in this chapter, chapter 16, Jesus told the disciples to prepare for persecution. He told them that they were going to be kicked out of their synagogues. And of course, they were focused on this, just as you might be focused on it if somebody told you you were going to be kicked out of your church. Well, they were told you're going to be kicked out of the synagogues, you're going to be persecuted. And of course, this is the opposite of what the disciples expected to happen. They were following the Messiah. They expected to go into Jerusalem and overthrow the Romans and rule and reign with Christ from Jerusalem. And that's the opposite of what he was telling them was going to happen. So they were focused on all of that. And in verse 5 of this chapter, Jesus said, I'm going away. And none of you are asking me, where are you going? So they'd lost the focus. They had lost focus on Christ, and they were focused on themselves and the persecution that was coming. And so Jesus used his words in the rest of this chapter to focus their attention back on him. How we speak is important. And Jesus began by using a certain kind of speech to grab his disciples' attention and to prepare them for the problems that they would be facing. And so the first thing we're going to look at is proverb speech in verses 16 through 24. Proverb speech. So Jesus said, a little while, and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. So Jesus is speaking in proverbial language. He's speaking poetically. He's speaking somewhat mysteriously, so they don't understand what he's saying, but they're intrigued by what he's saying. So he's grabbing their attention. A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. And understand, Jesus is not saying anything that he hasn't been saying for several chapters. He's just saying it in a different way that grabs their attention. Then said some of the disciples among themselves, what is this that he saith unto us? A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me. And because I go to the Father. So they weren't asking Jesus this, they were asking one another. They were saying, what is he talking about? What does he mean? They said, therefore, what is this that he saith a little while? We cannot tell what he saith. So the disciples and people like Peter, who always had the answer about everything, they were confused. They said, we don't know what he's talking about. We can't tell. And the interesting thing is that as they talk amongst themselves, their focus had been on themselves. We're going to get kicked out of the synagogue. We're going to be persecuted. We don't understand that. Now their focus is not on being kicked out of the synagogue, and it's not on setting up a kingdom and overthrowing the Romans. Their focus is on Christ and his words. And so Jesus has gotten their attention back on him. Verse 19, now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, he said unto them, do ye inquire among yourselves of what I said, a little while, and ye shall not see me, and again, a little while, and ye shall see me? So Jesus knew that they wanted an answer. They wanted to ask him what he's saying meant, but they were embarrassed. And of course, the meaning was that it would only be a little while until Jesus went to the cross. And then he would be buried. And they wouldn't see him for a little while. Then he would rise again from the dead and they would see him again. But they didn't know that. They didn't understand. Verily, verily, I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. So the world will rejoice when Jesus dies on the cross. That's what the world's going to do. They're going to rejoice. The devil and the world system of the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life will throw a party when Jesus dies on the cross. But Sunday is coming, and Jesus will rise from the dead. And their sorrow, the disciples' sorrow, will be turned into joy, and death and hell will be defeated. Amen. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. So Jesus gives an illustration from childbirth. And he says, you're going to go through sorrow. You're going to go through birth pains. You're going to go through travail. But just like a woman who is in sorrow, and then when the child is born, she's not thinking about the sorrow anymore. She's thinking about the baby that's been born. He says, he's saying to them, though they don't understand it, he's saying, when I rise from the dead, you all are going to forget this anguish. You're going to be so overjoyed in the fact that I've risen from the dead. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man takes it from you. So if only the disciples had remembered this when Jesus died on the cross, that he said, I will see you again. This is not the end. Even though he died on the cross, this would not be the end. He would see them again if they had just remembered it. But they were so sorrowful that Jesus had died. Of course, they would be, but he said, I will see you again. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. So after his resurrection and ascension into heaven, the disciples would pray to the Father in Jesus' name, just as they had talked to Jesus as he walked on the earth. To ask in Jesus' name is to ask according to God's will. That's what that means. It means like Jesus is signing his name to it. It's asking according to God's will. If you don't like your neighbor, and perhaps, you know, and I had some advice. If I don't get along with my neighbors, build a fence. Build a big fence. I think Jeff told me that. Somebody told me that. You should build a fence. If you don't like your neighbor, this is not talking about, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, kill my neighbor. That's not what it's talking about. No, you have to pray according to God's will. It's not just signing in Jesus' name on the end of something. But Jesus said, in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Verse 24, hitherto you've asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. So the disciples had yet to pray to the Father in Jesus' name. They had asked Jesus for things, but they had yet to pray, Heavenly Father, we ask this in Jesus' name. Now, that seems strange to us because we pray to the Father in the name of Jesus all the time. But remember, the disciples had never done this. Jesus was teaching them to do this. So it was something new. And so he exhorts them to do it. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. So we've seen the proverb speech. We've seen this figurative type of speech, and now we see plain speech in verses 25 through 32. These things have I spoken unto you in proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day ye shall ask in my name. And I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. The Life Application Study Bible says Jesus is talking about a new relationship between the believer and God. Previously, people approached God through priests. After Jesus' resurrection, any believer could approach God directly. A new day has dawned, and now all believers are priests, talking with God personally and directly. See Hebrews 10:19-23. We approach God not because of our own merit, but because of Jesus, our great high priest, has made us acceptable to God. He has given us his righteousness. He's imputed his righteousness to us by faith, or placed it on our account. When God looks at us, he no longer sees our sins, but he sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ. In verse 28, I came forth from the Father and am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. And the disciples say, now we understand, verses 29 through 30. They didn't understand everything, but they said, now you're speaking plainly. His disciples said unto him, lo, now speakest thou plainly and speakest no proverb. Now we are sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. And so Jesus says, you'll be scattered, verses 31 through 32. Jesus answered them, do ye now believe? Do y'all believe now? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own. And ye shall leave me alone, and yet I'm not alone, because the Father is with me. So Jesus is warning them about what is coming. Perhaps when they said, now we understand. Now we understand you came from the Father. We understand now. Of course, Jesus had said that many times, and he'd said, I'm going to the Father. But they said, now we understand. And he said, do you now believe? And then Jesus says, the hour is coming when you're going to be scattered. And so he's warning them again of what's coming. This is from Zechariah, the prophet Zechariah, chapter 13 and verse 7, where the Bible says, smite the shepherd and the sheep shall be scattered. And so Jesus Christ, the whole verse says, awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts, smite the shepherd and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn mine hand upon the little ones. And so persecution was coming. Persecution was coming, and Jesus would be crucified, and the disciples would be scattered. They'd go back to their homes, and they'd be scared to death of what was coming. Peter would deny him. All these things were going to happen. And Jesus said, all of you are going to leave me and abandon me, yet I'm not alone because the Father is with me. So as Jesus prepares the disciples for the trouble that's coming, he speaks to them in proverb speech and in plain speech. And now we see a third type of speech, peace speech, in verse 33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So in me ye might have peace. So where is peace to be found? Well, peace is not found in circumstances, but in Christ. Circumstances change. People change. But Jesus remains the same. He is the constant Christ, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And just like Jesus told his disciples, God uses mysterious speech to prepare us for problems. Speech that comes in the form of circumstances that we can't understand. speech that comes in the form of obstacles that we cannot overcome. And we're confused. And the only place we have to look is to God. And when we look to God, He speaks to us with plain speech. We may not understand all the twists and turns of life, but we do understand that Christ loves us and that we can trust Him in the midst of our problems. And so, how many times in life has something happened, some tragedy happened that you don't understand? And through that, you begin to go to God because He's the only one you can go to. You focus on God, and God assures you of His love. And in the midst of those problems, as we're looking to Christ by faith, we find peace. Peace is not found in the circumstances of life, but it's found in Christ alone. Jesus says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." The expression "be of good cheer" means be brave. Be brave. Take heart. And that's what we need to do. There's a lot of scary things happening in the world today. There's economic uncertainty. There's tragedy. There's things we can't understand. But Jesus says, be of good cheer. Be brave. Take heart. I have overcome the world. And because Jesus has overcome the world, and because we're in Christ, we also are overcomers. The world may come against us as it came against the disciples, but the resurrection was coming 3 days later. And so beyond the cross is the resurrection. And beyond tragedy in our lives is the hope that is found in Christ alone. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this word of assurance that You give us. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. We pray You would give us courage to, by faith, depend on You. We pray that we would focus on You alone, because You have comfort for us and You have peace that You can give us, even through circumstances that we don't understand. And we just pray that You would encourage us and help us today. We thank You, Lord Jesus, that You never change, but that You are constant. We pray if anyone here does not know You as Savior, that they've never been born again, that today would be the day they would look to You in faith and believe in You as their crucified, buried, and risen Savior, and be saved, born again by faith in Jesus Christ. We ask it, Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the name above every name. Amen. All right, we'll stand and sing a verse of Amazing Grace.